That which is material. Nishprapanchaha. Completely transcendental to material existence. Api. Although. Vidam vayasi. You imitate. Bhutale. On the surface of the earth. Prapanda. Or surrender. Janata. A people. Ananda Sandoham. The great variety of different kinds of ecstasies. Pratitum. In order to spread. Prabho. O Master. Translation. My dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. We repeat, my dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life. Just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. So, purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that just as a lamp does not seem to shine as brightly in sunlight as it does in the shade, or as a diamond does not seem as brilliant on a silver platter as it does on a plate of blue glass, the Lord's pastimes as Govinda do not seem as amazing in the transcendental abode of Vaikuntha as they do within the material realm of Maya. Lord Krishna comes to the earth and acts toward his pure devotees exactly like a devoted son, boyfriend, husband, father, friend, and so on. And within the darkness of material existence, these brilliant liberated pastimes give unlimited ecstasy to the surrendered devotees of the Lord. In his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada quotes Lord Brahma as follows. I can also understand that your appearance as a small coward boy, a child of the coward men, is not at all a material activity. You are so much obliged by their affection that you are here to enthuse them with more loving service by your transcendental presence. So, prapancham nishprapanchopi vidam vayasi bhutave prapanna janatananda sandoham pratitom prabho. So, omaganati madandasha tadanjana shalakya chakshud. So before we go and read the commentaries by these various acharyas, beginning with Sanatana Goswami and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I just want to comment upon the various reasons that the Lord comes down. And Prabhupada mentions this in the beginning of the Krishna book. He says that Krishna ostensibly, apparently, comes down in form of Richanaya Sadhanam Panishaya, produced with them, which means annihilating the miscreants, establishing the religious principle of protecting the devotees, and Prabhupada makes it very clear that Krishna doesn't have to come down for that. Because those things can be accomplished by Krishna's energies, by Krishna's devotees. And in the Bhagavatam, it mentions that Krishna's swarat is independent and also up to kama. He can accomplish anything just by desiring it. So if he wants to protect some devotee, he just will. Let him be protected. He doesn't have to bother to come down for that. If he wants to kill someone, let him kill someone. Die. Die, poo-poo. That poo-poo. But, you know, die. Or if he wants to establish religious principles, he just sends someone to do that. I mean, there's so many Shaktivesh avatars who do that. I mean, so many, like Prithu Maharaj, who establish religious principles. So, but Krishna comes down for other purposes, some of which are esoteric, some of which are exoteric. And exoteric means, apparently, well, Krishna comes down here, it's described some of the esoteric reasons. But the exoteric reason that Krishna comes down, not the one we mentioned about Vichranaya Sadhana, Vinashaya Jadushkritam, is that he comes to show what he's like, so that conditioned souls within the darkness of this material world, which is us, can become attracted to him. Isn't it? Just like yesterday I was looking at Facebook, which I try not to look at, and I was looking at the, unfortunately, at some of the pages of some of my disciples, lady disciples, and they were on their pages acting in such a way as to attract attention to themselves. And I was thinking, I thought they knew the philosophy. You know, it's not just one, several men. I said, philosophy, you know, you're not the body. decorations of the body is like decorations of a corpse. I know this is sannyasi speaking. You know, it's hard for him to relate to some things going on in this material world. And the body's just a biomucus and air, true dadaki, the body. You know, we have so many statements like that, so I'm not going to get into that. But I was just amazed. Now it's just, now I'm understanding the idea is to attract people to them. Just like Krishna's doing that. He comes down to the Earth planet and he goes on Facebook. Yeah, Mukha. You know, Krishna's Mukunda. Remember we were talking about how his face is like a flower? Mukunda. Mukha, Kunda. Yeah, jasmine flower. So many ladies are trying to make their faces like jasmine flowers. To me, it just looks like imitation. You know, just imitate. When I see that, it's not that I become attracted and say, oh, how beautiful that lady is. I think that she's just trying to imitate Krishna. Why did you put that same jewelry on the deities? Why did you buy that stupid sari she's wearing? Why don't you just give it to us to make a nice outfit for the deity? Sorry about this. The sannyas move is coming out. Anyway, so... I just wow. But anyway, it's a reflection, as Krishna talks about in the 15th chapter of the Gita, that everything in this material world is a reflection, like a banyan tree reflected on the banks of the river. And what goes up is down, and down is up. You know, it's an upside-down reflection. So you have people just trying to attract attention to themselves. And that's natural in this world. I mean, men also do the same thing, of course, not in the same way. You know, they may do the same thing with muscles or something like that, or trophies. You know, they have trophies, I'm the golf champion or whatever like that. So, you know, everybody's trying to do that in this world, attract attention to themselves. And little babies do that by crying. Of course, it's probably a good thing because, you know, they need the help of their mothers. I'm not saying that we should stop babies crying. That would be really bad. Babies crying means they want something. So, that's all right. But they want attention. I remember when I was young, and we mentioned this several times before, I had a little brother who was three years younger than me. And I was so upset I wasn't getting attention anymore. It was just attention deficit disorder. I know that's not what attention deficit disorder is. But I'm giving a new definition to an attention deficit disorder. So I had this attention deficit disorder. I wasn't getting enough attention. So I became really like, people ask me, why are you so humorous and everything like that? Because that was my method of getting attention in those days. So I learned it from my mother's love for my brother. Anyway, so everyone in this world, and you know, yesterday someone gave me, to give to someone else, a selfie stick.
What?
Selfie stick.
Oh.
You don't know what that is, a purveyor. Innocent young man. A selfie stick is something you attach to your phone, so you can take a picture of you from a longer distance, yourself and your friends sometimes, you know, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. You know, and so people go to see people go to Vrindavan, they go to see the deities, but they don't take a picture of just the deities. They take a picture of themselves in front of the deities. That's why in Krishna Balaram Mandir it says no selfies. It actually says that. No selfies. You know, and for a while, and I think they may be prohibiting cameras completely, because people wouldn't just take pictures of the deities. They were just like, here's me and Poopsie in front of the deities. Poopsie users. That's a fancy name for my wife, someone's wife. Anyway, and Sweetie Pie in front of the deities. Here's us. You know, it's just like, it's amazing on Facebook. You really see this. Not only people decorating their bodies, but wherever they are, it's just them doing things. You know, us, you know, of course, I can't criticize, I'd probably get into it too, you know. Me, Guru Maharaj, in front of Govardhan. So anyway, it's interesting. You know why Facebook becomes so popular? Because people want to have their false egos. You know, they have their false egos, they want to attract attention.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's, I mean, I try to use it for preaching. Hopefully I'm not using it for my false ego. But anyway, so Krishna comes down, getting to the point, so people can see, wow, he's so beautiful, he's so amazing, he does incredible things. That's exoteric, you know, the apparent reason, which is also exoteric. And people go, wow, he's a lot better than that Judeo-Christian God who's simply getting angry at all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like jealous. You know, just like, I don't want anything to do with religion, you know, this guy God, you know, does all these mean things to people, and, you know, sends people to hell, you know, just wait, in one lifetime, you just, like, didn't surrender, so you just get to, like, swim in an ocean without your scuba suit, an ocean of, you know, whatever, fire and brimstone. You know, so, but you know, here we're presenting, and Krishna comes down for this purpose, really important purpose, so people can love him. You know, everybody's talking about love, love, love God. But you know, it's impossible unless you have information about Krishna, or at least Vishnu and Ram. You know, these are lovable pastimes, too, in different moods. In Vishnu, you actually have the mood of awe and reverence. You know, you love someone in awe and reverence, just like people worship a movie actor or actress, or worship a politician. In India, they actually do worship politicians. Actually, there was one person in India who set up a whole temple to Donald Trump, and he was doing puja every day. You know. Yeah. So Krishna comes down, and so we just like, wow, he's wonderful, he's fantastic. I don't have to watch Spider-Man anymore. Or Superman, or whatever, man. Or a woman, you know, Wonder Woman, if you happen to be a feminist. So then I can just say, wow, that's great. So that's one reason. Another reason is that there are certain pastimes when Krishna comes down to this earth that he doesn't have in the spiritual world. I mean, of course, you could say the killing of demons, but that's done by his Vishnu expansion. But the killing of demons actually accomplishes another thing. It creates an intense mood of anxiety in the hearts of the devotees. So they really, you know, take more shelter of him when you have a demon around. Just like when you have some difficulty that's presented to you in Krishna consciousness, you take shelter of Krishna more, isn't it? I know that, you know, when dealing with things in the movement, when there's some difficulty or issue or challenge, it's a challenge, then you really take shelter of Krishna. Well, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I just want to chant and be happy. So anyway, Krishna has various pastimes with demons, and the demons allow Krishna to manifest certain moods that he wouldn't be able to manifest in the spiritual world. Like an intense mood of anger, ghastliness. I mean, there's no ghastliness in the spiritual world. Nothing is ghastly there. I'm talking about the indirect rasas. There's nothing ghastly in the spiritual world. It just doesn't exist. You know, everything's great. There may be a little anxiety. There is some anxiety when Krishna, apparently, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, goes to Mathura in the spiritual world, but there's definitely no ghastliness. So Krishna is rasa raj. He likes to enjoy these rasas. And then also, there's other pastimes, like when Krishna is born as a little baby. The baby pastimes aren't there in the spiritual world. So there's some very special pastimes in the material world that don't take place in the spiritual world. So there are various reasons. And then, of course, the reason given here is that when Krishna comes to the material world, his pastimes become even more prominent, because it's like a diamond that's in a darker setting. You understand? Like the example given here in the purport, when a diamond is on a silver platter, it doesn't really stand out that much. Because silver is also not necessarily brilliant, but it's reflective. And when a diamond is on blue glass, that's darker, of course. Blue. The reason blue is chosen because it's darker, a darker color. You could say black, like that. Then a diamond really shines out. So when Krishna is here in the spiritual world, in the material world, then his pastimes really contrast. You understand? Like contrast. Okay, that's a better word to use. If something is very contrasty, then it really shines out. It's like a photography. You have this thing called HDR photography. It's called high dynamic range. I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures where everything seems to pop out of the picture. Ever seen that? The colors are just, not just so brilliant, but it's just like the contrast are so great. It's called HDR photography. It's done on the computer, or it's done sometimes some of the cameras by bringing in different exposures of the same picture, and then you get this. Anyway, so Krishna's doing that here, appearing as in his wonderful pastimes in the material world, which is simply amazing. So now we'll read the commentaries of the Acharyas, beginning with Sanatana Goswami's commentary, translated by Gopi Pranadatta Prabhu in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Krishna might explain that he comes to Braj not only to enjoy pastimes with his devotees, but also to become their relative. In this way, by imitating the ways of material life, he intends to increase the ecstasy of his devotees. But Brahma thinks that merely putting on a superficial show of being a son or other family member is not enough to absolve his debt to the Brajavasis. So again, you're talking about that he owes the Brajavasis so much because they're just completely sold out to Krishna. Just like Srimati Radharani prays in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if my unhappiness gives Krishna happiness, then my unhappiness is my happiness. I mean, or she also says, if Krishna wants to enjoy some other lady, then she will make some arrangement for it. So this is complete, absolute surrender, sharanagati. Or else Brahma's statement, if reinterpreted as a rhetorical question, that means Brahma would know the answer, but he's just asking it for the benefit of others, asks whether Krishna is becoming the son or other relative of the Brajavasis on earth isn't in fact an illusion, a false show? The answer, Brahma implies, of course it's not. Krishna proves the seriousness of his intentions. He shows that he intends to enlighten, not delude, by displaying before Mother Yashoda his universal form, and in other ways, revealing to his devotees his identity as the Supreme Lord. And not only the Brajavasis, but anyone who comes in contact with Krishna is relieved of material delusion, for Krishna cannot hide his true nature from his devotees. There's like a story of when Krishna was trying to hide from Srimati Radharani by manifesting two extra arms. He couldn't keep the extra two arms. They kept disappearing. Now, this is the famous, actually happened near Govardhan, it's in the Chaturbhuja temple. Chaturbhuja means forearm temple. Krishna comes to the earth to share with his devotees the highest degrees of ecstasy, whereas on other places like Swarga, the corresponding exchanges, such as those between Aditi and her son Vamanadev, are hampered by the over-awareness of his supremacy. If even in Brajabhumi Krishna were known to be God, then how could he ever repay his debt to the Brajavasis? His attempts to bestow the highest ecstasy on them would be frustrated just as on Swargaloka. In other words, he's attempting to repay his debt to the Brajavasis by the intimacy and the opulence interferes with his ability to serve his devotees and pay his debt to his devotees. By Krishna's inconceivable potencies, devotees who dedicate themselves fully to Krishna, who abandon themselves to the control of Krishna Prema, lose all attachment to material things. They then give up the main causes of delusion, their family entanglements and their affection for relatives and friends. I said the main causes of delusion are family entanglements and the affection for relatives and friends. But although Krishna's association makes life, material life, dissolve, Brahma tells Krishna, for certain very special devotees, you create an illusion, vidam vayasi, by increasing their attachments and desires. Thus you, O Krishna, who are Prabhu, are capable of doing anything, expand the vast ocean of ecstasy for your devotees on earth, something you never do in Vaikuntha. Krishna's fully surrendered devotees accept all their worldly assets as his Mahaprasad and maintain their attachments only for his sake. Thus their possessions and attachments, which fill them with the variegated sweetness of Bhajanananda, the supreme bliss of pure devotional service, do nothing but enhance their spiritual lives. In other words, their attachments for things that are used in Krishna's service, not for their sense gratification. And actually, I was listening to a class where Prabhupada was asked, can we pray to Lord Vishnu for something spiritual and in a service of Lord Vishnu, service of Krishna? And Prabhupada said yes. And then Prabhupada gave the example that when he was trying to build the Bombay temple, that how he was praying to Krishna to get rid of all the impediments to accomplish this task. What can Krishna do for such exalted devotees? He can only remain in debt to them. And that's Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita coming to. So now we are going to read first from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Usually that's the first one. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary is, some think that the Purna Praman, becoming a son in Braj, is not real, not absolute, and that those devotees are an illusion. In reply to this, Brahma recites a verse. Though you are always beyond the material influence, you always are situated within the material world and take up forms and relationships similar to material forms and relationships of sons, but your form and relationships are not false, like those of material fathers and sons. Those forms and relationships, being transcendental, referring to Krishna's forms, are real and eternal. Though your pastimes are eternal and beyond material influence, they appear similar to material activities. Why do you need to imitate material activities? That is, in order to increase even further the bliss that the devotees have tasted from some of your pastimes. That's why Krishna does it. As a lamp appears bright in the darkness, but is insignificant, this is what was quoted in the purport, but is insignificant in the sunlight, or a diamond does not glitter on a white background, but appears brilliant against a dark background. Same thing that was in the purport here. Just expressed in a different way. The pastimes do not appear so astonishing in Vaikuntha as they do when performed in the material world. Though Braj is spiritual, just as Krishna appears like a mortal person, so Braj also appears like part of the material world. In this place, the pastimes appear most wonderful. And then we have Jiva Goswami's commentary. What is the purpose of your pastimes? They are to spread intense bliss to the surrendered people, those in Braj and myself, by sweet pastimes rather than pastimes displaying power. So sweetness is much more attractive than power. What pious acts, and then he quotes from the Bhagavatam 10.8.46, what pious acts did Danda perform to cause such affection, and what pious acts did most fortunate Yashoda perform so that the Lord drank from her breast? Another quote from the Bhagavatam. Great devotees sing of the activities of Krishna in his childhood, which Vasudeva and Devaki could not experience, and which even today destroy the sins of all people. Another verse from the Bhagavatam. O Lord, hearing about the Lord, full of qualities, destroyer of suffering, attractor of the senses, who causes through his appearance, causes pleasure to the ears and great attraction to the mind, destroys all disinterest in the topics and all thirst for material enjoyment, and produces prema for the attractive Lord and friendship with the devotees. Please speak of the Lord's pastimes if you think I am qualified. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 7th chapter. The pastimes of Krishna with the people of Braj are eternal. This is indicated in verse 32, where the friendship of the Lord is unspecified in time and followed by the words greatest bliss, complete and eternal. Verse 33 again indicates that the pastimes are eternal. In giving up Vaikuntha and praying for birth to attain the foot dust of the people of Braj, and describing the Lord as the life of the people of Braj, sought by the Vedas, again the eternal nature of the pastimes is seen. Not able to repay his debts, the Lord then appears in this world as the sun over unlimited kalpas of time. Though there are many people filled with attachment and illusion, this is no obstacle to the pastimes. Brahma takes as his personal goal in life attainment of the form of Krishna, a coward as described in verse 1 related to the people abroad and to the devotees outside. Brahma fears that some people with material vision think that the pastimes are material. What can be said? This verse answers. Though you are untouched by matter in your pastimes and constantly engage in pastimes with your devotees and appear in the material world with your devotees, you imitate the material world by being born like a human, but show the great glory by that act. What is the purpose of doing that? It gives joy to the devotees. Both the people of this world who are not eternal and the surrendered devotees who are eternal derive bliss by seeing and hearing about the eternal pastimes which manifest on earth. An ocean of bliss spreads because of the pastimes which appear on earth. And I just remember another conversation we heard this morning. Prabhupada was having a conversation with a devotee. I don't want to mention his name, but this devotee was very much steeped in the Christian tradition. And the devotee asked Prabhupada, how did Krishna die? How did Lord Chaitanya die? And Prabhupada got really angry. And he said, you know, this is not Christianity where, you know, the stress is on someone died for your sins. You know, so there's this whole, like, Western conception or Judaic conception, Christian Judaic or even Muslim conception, that someone dies or someone's a martyr. You know, you have this whole martyrdom complex. Especially in the Islamic tradition, you have this a martyr like that. So Prabhupada got very disturbed when he heard that. He said, what Krishna did on earth is important, not how he left this world. And Prabhupada was very disturbed by this question. You can imagine, you know, this. Can you imagine where people just say, you know, God died for my sins? I mean, just the way, use the word die in relationship to God, the same sentence. It's nasty. Don't you understand? Oh, God's son died. I mean, it's just... I mean, devotees sacrifice their lives, and sometimes they do leave their bodies in Christian service, but that's not the point. The point is that what they did, you know, preaching. So anyway, so it's interesting hearing Prabhupada's comment on that question. And I could hear this devotee didn't have much faith. I know this devotee, actually. Though you are beyond the material world, Sanatana Goswami's commentary, we're almost finished. You imitate the world by being the sun. Why do you do this? Why? You do this in order to give bliss to your devotees by hearing... By hearing about your pastimes related to Braj. Or do you really perform pastimes as a son with the devotees? You who cause others to exit the material world, nispra-panchaha, become fixed, vilam vayasi, in spreading the bliss by pastimes with the people of Braj, praptana janata. So that's the end of the purports of the acharyas. And anyway, the main thing we can get from this is by hearing Krishna's pastimes, then we lose the desire. Now, what is it? Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Prajurji, Saha, Janayati, Asu, Vairagyam, Jnanam, Chayad, Ohaitakam. That simply being engaged, Vasudeva, Bhagavati, hearing Krishna's pastimes, serving the devotees, Bhakti Yoga, Prajurjita, performing the other aspects of Bhakti Yoga. Then we get what? Janayati asu vairagya. Then we get vairagya. Vairagya means, you know, without passion. Like you have vaikuntha, without anxiety. Kuntha means anxiety. So the spiritual world is called vaikuntha, which means a place where there's no anxiety. Of course, in Krishna Loka, there is anxiety. But that's just how to please Krishna. So, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Pratyojita. Janayati Asu Vairagya. You get renunciation automatically. We don't have to try for it separately. And then, Janahoitakam. Then you get causeless knowledge, too. Realization. Yadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Yenamam. Ubiyanti De Tesham Satyam Yuktanam. Vajatam Pratibhur Vakam. Yadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Famous verse. Everybody should learn. Okay, all glories to His divine grace.